We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
On the Wester Hotline, talking some Bills with me is Sal Capaccio. Sal, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm a little sore from my 36 holes of golf yesterday. I announced when I got on the show that you had two. And by the way, the birdie hole that Sal had at Briarwood yesterday morning was one of the harder holes to birdie. And Sal, I mean, you had a good day yesterday. Two birdies in a round at Briarwood is definitely not an easy task.
Yeah, but just goes to show you where my game is. I had two birdies, one on each side. I also had two triples, one on each side, so that kind of balances it out. But that's okay. That happens. I mean, that's the kind of golfer I am. You know, I try to break 90 when I go out. I did yesterday. I was happy with that. But, you know, I kind of wasted those birdies. It's good. You know, I don't play the course as much as you do, obviously. I've been out there a couple of times. And one of the things about your game, anybody's game, is playing courses again over and over helps. You know, where to put it and things like that. And you say, oh, if I knew this was there, I would do that differently. But I was happy with the way I played. Yeah, and I had a couple nice iron shots to set myself up. How did you play your second round after I was gone?
I flipped it back and I shot an 81. So one shot over what
wow.
I yeah.
Nice.
So I had a good day yesterday, but it was beautiful weather. I mean, right now this time of year is my favorite time of year for weather. It's just absolutely perfect. The leaves are starting to change over a little bit, which is a little depressing, but you really just cannot beat the weather right now.
You and your golf pants shot an 81.
That's right. Nice. That's right. It was quite warm for pants, it turned out. Sal, obviously this week, Tre'Davious White was kind of the center of attention starting on Wednesday when he met with the media in a Zoom conference and suggested that he was still pretty much 50-50 up in the air about whether or not he'd opt out and play. Ultimately, all of us sat around on Thursday until 4 o'clock, biting our fingernails, waiting for an announcement that never came. Were you at all surprised, based on some of the things and some of the reasons he was sort of explaining why he was still considering opting out, and it was really family-related? So because of that, I was assuming that Tre'Davious White was going to opt out, but I was pleasantly surprised for the team's sake. I hope that he feels good about the decision, though.
I didn't think he was going to, but I wouldn't have been surprised if he did. You know, I was probably more in the, he's probably about 60, 70% in my mind that he would still play. And the reason for me was, he's already been here. Like, it's not like he was at home deciding, do I want to go to do this? Do I want to play football this year? Do I want to go to work? He had said, you know, he had wanted to see how the team was going to handle things, what it looked like in the locker room. That's why he, you know, was here all week, partly. You know, obviously he was part of the team and reported to camp, but he had already been here. And he also said that he thought they were doing a good job. Once he said that, it kind of told me that, okay, this really, as much as he wants to make sure his family is safe, at least he feels comfortable with how things are going with football. And look, Nate, I mean, as you know, this is such a sport where, you know, it is such a family-oriented sport inside that locker room, right? You do have your regular family, your immediate family, and of course that takes precedent. But football is, everybody is in this together. You blood, sweat, and tears together, and you go through a lot of the grind together. And I think it's above any other sport, you know, a sport where it would be very hard for a player to say, boy, I am watching my brothers out there grind every day, you know, go through the pain and the injuries and all those kinds of things, and I'm not doing that. And I think that's got to be some internal pressure on anybody who would be deciding to opt out.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Brian Winters this week, Sal, officially signs his deal, 1 year, $3 million with the Bills. And let's talk a little bit about Brian Winters, maybe what you know about him. If you were to go to Jets Twitter would tell you that he's the worst player of all time, he stinks, but thank God we just don't go by Jets Twitter and we actually do a little more research. What do you think we can expect to see from Brian Winters early on this season? Is he a player that is likely just going to come in, take his snaps, and then kind of exit the lineup once John Feliciano's ready? Or do you expect if this is a player that could come in and potentially play very well for them at the right guard position?
Well, I think he has a chance to start right away. And, you know, I think it might come down to his health, how healthy he is. He did miss seven games last year. One of the other things Jets Twitter will tell you is he can't stay on the field. I mean, that's not really true. I mean, he missed 7 games last year. I get that. But if you go through the previous 4 seasons, he missed 3 games 1 year and 3 games another. He missed 6 games over 4 seasons. That's not completely unusual or abnormal. Maybe a game here, a game there that, you know, other guys wouldn't have. But he played through a lot of pain last year as well. You know, but he played a full season twice out of the last 4 years before that and his rookie year. He missed a bunch of time in his second year, and he missed a half a season last year with injuries. So if he can stay on the field, if he is healthy, I think he has a very good shot to start. He's the kind of – he's just like the player that they really want, right? He fits exactly the profile on and off the field, which is very well respected. A guy that is going to come in here and do his job. His work ethic is not going to be questioned, anything like that. I think, you know, his leadership abilities, anything that anybody wrote about him or said about him in New York was just very high quality, high character. That's the kind of player you want in Buffalo. And I think that's the kind of player they lost in John Feliciano, right? I mean, so he kind of fits in. And look, Jets Twitter also told everybody that Spencer Long was horrible and he wouldn't even make the Bills. And Spencer Long became a very valuable backup to the Bills. Every situation for every player is different. Maybe Brian Winters wasn't as good the last few years because the Jets offensive line wasn't as good. You know, you put him next to Mitch Morse, it's probably a different story here in Buffalo, right? I mean, I think that I'm not going to say Bills fans should have their expectations that he's going to come in right in and be an all-pro player, but I think that you could do a lot worse in this league as a drop-off or finding somebody different when you lose a right guard to bring in Brian Winters. I think he can start, and I think he can play right away.
You mentioned the name Spencer Long. Obviously, this week, with the news and the signing of Brian Winters, Spencer Long was released. I was a little surprised to see his name. I understand that there's now that created a logjam at the guard position, but Spencer Long what sort of signified to me the sort of flexibility on the interior offensive line with the ability to knock down to center. Does that indicate to you that they're comfortable with, like, say, a Ryan Bates coming into the center position if something were to happen to Mitch Morse? Because we know Feliciano is the primary backup to the center position.
Yeah, Ryan Bates is probably now the backup center, I would say. But he's also going to try to fight for a starting job. He could fight for a starting job at tackle. I don't see that necessarily happening. The team really likes him. I think they love his flexibility. He can actually play all 5 positions. He did when he first came to Buffalo. They moved him around a little bit, but I think probably center is maybe position 1, tackle is position 2, guard is position 3 if he had to do that. So he becomes your backup center with a lot of flexibility around the line. Don't forget, Ike Butker can also play a little bit center. He's on the team as well. You know, so they do have guys with this position flexibility. I would not count out Evan Bame still to battle for that starting right guard spot. He started 8 games for the Miami Dolphins at right guard last year. The Bills still have a lot of different options. And then Darrell Williams, I think, is a tackle for this team, but he has played right guard. His best year was at right tackle a few years ago in Carolina. He was an all-pro there. And, you know, they could wind up doing that. And we still have the Cody Ford thing out there, which I know he's going to get some reps there. I think what this indicates for me, signing Brian Winters really kind of tells me they really want Cody Ford to stay at right tackle, even though, you know, they'll keep all options open. The thing about Brian Winters as well, in a different year, Nate, in a different year, maybe they don't sign him. I think one of the reasons you sign a guy like Brian Winters, let's think about this. You had not had an entire offseason. You can't just go out and get a guy that you bring in who doesn't know anything about the system, who hasn't played in this league that long. A guy like Brian Winters, as much as he's been in one system with the Jets, he's a veteran. He's going to be able to relate to everything very, very quickly and kind of, I think, get acclimated a lot more than other people. I think as we go forward here,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Anytime you see teams around the league losing players, you're probably going to see more veterans get those jobs than you would younger players, because I think teams will have more confidence that a veteran can come in and adapt a lot easier.
A quick this is technically breaking as of 10 minutes ago. The Big Ten, sorry to interrupt, Sal, I just saw this come. The Big mm-hmm. Ten just announced yep. that they are pausing until further notice the first couple of days of football, which everyone was supposed to be reporting this week. The Big Ten is currently pausing all of that, which probably further indicates that a bigger decision, which was just tweeted out a little while ago by Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports, that the Big Ten is considering a full shutdown of the 2020 season. This looks to be the very first stage of that shutdown. So just a quick breaking news there I wanted to pass along as the Big Ten's official statement just came down through Twitter. Sal Capaccio here on the West Hur Hotline with me. All right, Sal, back to the Bills. Dawson Knox, another guy that talked to the media this week as we kind of make our rounds with the media coverage. One of the things he talked about working on in this offseason was some of the drops, and that was sort of the big story with Dawson Knox, was all the big stiff arms and highlight plays. Some of them were stymied by really difficult and tough drops, and especially at difficult times. What did Dawson Knox do in this offseason to sort of clean up some of those drops that really probably cost some of the trust that he was gaining, not only with Josh Allen in the offense, but Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll as well?
I'll get to him in 1 second. Can I just go back to what you just said a little while ago?
Yes, absolutely.
There's two things going on today. It's Mac and Big Ten. Okay, the Big Ten has announced they will not progress to padded practices as of yet. But the MAC has released an actual statement saying that they are not going to have football.
Yeah, they are pausing the season. They're hoping so, springtime right. is what the MAC president said. But I've got reservations. I don't think that that's really going to work out for them as much as I think that they want that to work. I would be surprised if they could figure out a way to get spring.
And I believe I just read Heather Prusak, Channel 4, just tweeted out a little while ago that both Lance Leipold and Mark Allnut are going to speak today about this, you know, from UB. As far as the Big Ten is concerned, yeah, they're holding conferences today, but they're still going to be practicing. They're just not going to advance to padded practice quite yet, is what I think their situation is right now. You know, but we'll get more information on that. But you're right. I mean, this seems like every time, what do we get in March? Well, we're going to have to do this, we're going to do that, and we all kind of saw what was coming, right? This looks like it's a precursor to maybe even hearing we're not going to have football in the Big Ten. We don't know yet, but that could be the case when it's all
I also
done.
Looked, I mean, Sal, you know, when you start to think about what teams will do, if you look back at March Madness when this thing originally happened, the Ivy League was the first league in college basketball to say, nope, we're cutting the cord, we aren't doing this, and everybody else followed. The same thing happened here this college football season. The Ivy League was the first league to come out and say, nope, we're not putting these college athletes in a position on the football field, not happening, we're right. canceling the season. So I'm willing to bet, Sal, that we don't get to watch college football this fall. It sucks. That is just the nature of the times that we're dealing with right now. And I think it's interesting, if college football, Sal, does end up getting canceled, and that's almost universal, and we get to see all these Power 5 conferences ultimately make the decision not to play, what that could potentially mean for the NFL. You know, I think I see a world, Sal, where the NFL plays even if college football is canceled, but I think that would put a lot of pressure on, you know, executives in the NFL to make a harder decision if college football were to get canceled.
Well, look, there's a big, big difference. Mm-hmm. One is a professional sports league that, you know, operates on billions of dollars, and this is their livelihood, and people get paid. In college sports, you have to remember, you know, that's one team out of a lot of different student athletes. And on top of that, presidents have to keep in mind an entire student body, not just
right.
football players or any other athletes. You know, they have to think about the entire student body at hand, whereas the football just concentrates on football. You know, that's what they're trying to do. So yes, I still believe the NFL will go forward. I think we're going to start the season in the NFL. We'll see where it goes. Who knows what's going to happen around every corner. It seems like there's something new that's happening all the time. I would not be surprised if we do not see college football this fall either, in any capacity, in some capacity, whatever, but that the NFL actually does do that. It's a much different ball game, dealing with the two different sports and the levels of them. And when we're talking about money and businesses and institutions and who's involved here. It's a sad day to read about, yeah. but we all understand as well. Okay. So Dawson Knox yes. said, and I agree with him, Nate, he said his drop issues last year really kind of stemmed from the easier catches. And then he tried to make a move, tried to get upfield before he had the ball secure. I've been going back and watching all these games, as you know. I agree with him. I think, you know, he made some tough catches, but the easier catches, the ones like, oh, I got this. You know, that just comes from reps, I think, and understanding, you know, space on the football field and his position. You remember, he's a converted quarterback from college. He didn't have a ton of tight end time at college until, you know, his, and then he didn't even catch a lot of passes when he was converted to tight end, you know, his final year there at Ole Miss, final couple years. So, yeah, that was interesting to me, and he had a jugs machine all year to kind of work on that kind of thing.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, before I let you go, what can we expect this week from training camp? I know we should probably start to see a little bit more buildup of some on-field work. They obviously aren't putting any pads on right now. What can fans expect to see this week from the second full week of training camp?
So they still have to remain in what's called phase one for a while. I'm going to look actually as I'm talking to you exactly to get the dates right, because there's been so many things on this. You know what I mean? I want to make sure. But basically, they can start putting equipment on, helmets on, I should say, on the 17th. They cannot practice, padded practice, actual hitting, live hitting, until the 20th. But it's the acclimation period until the 11th. There you go. Once they get to August 12th, so they can continue to do what they're doing now, which is strength and conditioning and things like that. Using football is very limited for some positions, stuff like that. Once they get to August 12th, they're allowed the gradual ramp-up period. So what are we at? Today is the 8th, 9th, 10th. So that would be Wednesday. Then they're allowed a little bit more time on the field. The first practice will start 90 minutes with a 15-minute daily increase up to a maximum of 120. So the first are on the field for more of that acclimation period together, doing huddles and things like that. They can go for an hour and a half. Then they can gradually ramp up as the phase goes on. They're not allowed to have any padded practices, like I said, for a little while. They're still going to have to wait on that. But now they can start doing more football stuff as of Wednesday, getting together, huddling up, stuff like that. But we'll see how that looks, basically, with, you know, all the protocols in place, too. So it's so wild to think about all the different things that have to go into this stuff.
All right, Sal. Well, enjoy your Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully nice weather for both days. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Yeah, nice weather for Little League game today.
I figured there'd be some max baseball. So you said yesterday.
Max baseball today.
Yesterday, four swings, four contacts for Max.
Four swings off the off the pitching machine. Four swings, one foul ball, three in play. So we'll take that for sure. So
absolutely.
He's getting there, so.
No, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. Well, enjoy the weather, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guy.
Thanks, Sam.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.